Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. A Better Future.
Hello. We spoke last week about the hypocrisy of liberals, about the inherent hypocrisy of liberalism. Let's look at one more example of this. In March 1974, a young black criminal, Derek Farmer, held up a jewelry store in Dayton, Ohio, with the help of another black. Shooting broke out during the robbery, and two people were killed. One of them was a white policeman, Sergeant William Mortimer, who was shot in the head as he tried to arrest the two blacks. The other victim was a bystander outside the store. Farmer was convicted of murder and armed robbery and sentenced to life in prison. While in prison, he began reading law books, as many prisoners do. He also began corresponding with white liberals, including several judges. After 18 years, the white liberals got him paroled. Farmer then got himself a law degree, and 2 weeks ago, his liberal supporters persuaded the Ohio Bar Committee to give Farmer a license to practice law. Although there has been no national news coverage of this matter, it has not been without controversy in Cincinnati, where Farmer, the black convicted cop killer, will be glorying in his new role as an officer of the court. Police are outraged, and even a few judges have expressed their displeasure with the prospect of having Farmer representing clients in their courtrooms. Liberals, however, are smirking at having gotten away with making a practicing lawyer of Farmer with so little resistance from the white legal establishment. What makes this episode fascinating for me is a comparison with a case just 200 miles away, where another lawyer is barred from practicing law because members of the Illinois Bar Committee don't like his religion. Lawyer Matt Hale is the head of an outfit called World Church of the Creator, which does not follow the Judeo-Christian party line on racial matters. Hale, like Farmer, has a law degree, but unlike Farmer, he is not a convicted cop killer. In fact, he has never been convicted of anything. And of course, he is not black. But the politically correct lawyers of the Illinois Bar Committee find his religious beliefs to be offensive, and so they will not permit him to practice law in Illinois. You and I both know that if he were the head of a black church whose members don't like whites, instead of a white church whose members don't like blacks, the Illinois Bar Committee would be falling all over itself now to issue him a law license. And you know, that couldn't have happened even a decade ago. Just 10 years ago, a convicted cop killer, even a black cop killer, couldn't have been licensed to practice law anywhere in the United States, not even in California or New York. And no bar committee would have been bold enough to deny an otherwise qualified lawyer the right to practice law solely on the grounds that they didn't like his religion. But 10 years of Jewish television propaganda can do a lot to condition public thinking. And it's especially significant that the segment of the public which has been conditioned in this matter is the legal establishment, the lawyers. At this point, I just want to mention that there still are a few decent lawyers, and I'm pleased to have some of the latter as members of my organization, the National Alliance. Most lawyers, however, always were a crooked bunch, and they also have been the pillars of the political establishment. Most politicians, from Bill and Hillary on down to state legislators and mayors, are lawyers. More than any other segment of the population, they are responsible for the condition of our government, our laws, and our judicial system. And I'm talking about white lawyers, Gentile lawyers. They, more than any other segment of our people, have betrayed us. On the whole, they are an avaricious, unscrupulous, and deceitful bunch who have willingly collaborated with the Jews in the destruction of our society in order to advance their careers and their fortunes. Lawyers are not even an especially liberal group, nor are they noted for their fondness for Jews. Their aim has not been the destruction of our society, but simply to enrich themselves at any cost. They are an especially greedy and irresponsible group who have been willing to sup with the devil whenever they believed they could profit personally from it. And as I said, 10 years ago, they would not have tolerated a convicted cop killer in their ranks, nor would they have presumed to prevent a man from practicing law just because the Jews didn't like his religion. But today they would. That is a noteworthy change. And it's all the more noteworthy because the people involved are the movers and shakers in our society. We should note, of course, that what the Illinois and the Ohio Bar Committees have done in the two cases I have described doesn't really prove anything in itself. These cases are only suggestive, but they certainly do fit in nicely with the general downward trend of American society. More than that, they are yet two more manifestations of the growing Judaization of our society, the growing openness and arrogance of Jewish power in our society. There are many other recent manifestations of this phenomenon which we have talked about on these programs, and we'll talk about them again in a moment. First, I want to stress the fact that the behavior of the Ohio and Illinois bar committees is a consequence of specifically Jewish pressure, even though a majority of the lawyers in Ohio and Illinois are Gentiles. The bar committee lawyers, like all politicians, are very media sensitive. Left to themselves, they really wouldn't care what a prospective lawyer's religion is. But Jewish groups, such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit and the Southern Poverty Law Center, have been screaming about Matt Hale and his World Church of the Creator in the media for the past couple of years, calling them terrorists and everything else they can think of. The lawyer-politician types have been sensitized. They are afraid that if they let Matt Hale have a law license, they will be seen as politically incorrect and may be criticized in the media. They are afraid that if they don't give a convicted black cop killer a license, they will be seen as racists and may be criticized in the media. This is the same sort of politically correct sensitivity which is responsible for much of the slanted news these days. In my broadcast of October 16th, I told you about the kidnap, rape, sexual torture, and murder of 13-year-old Jesse Dirkhuizing in Arkansas by two adult homosexuals. And I pointed out that the news of this horrible crime had been blocked out completely by the national news media. Well, since my October 16th broadcast, a few, not many, but a few mainstream news media also have mentioned the incident. And many people, when they learned about the crime, wanted to know why so few media reported it and why they took so long to get around to reporting it. And when they asked their local newspaper editors these questions, they got a lot of foot shuffling and downcast eyes in response. One media person familiar with the story blurted out, and I quote, "Nobody wants to say anything negative about homosexuals. Nobody wants to be seen on the wrong side of that issue," end quote. This was a Gentile, and he was speaking for Gentile media people who are afraid of the Dirkhuizing story, afraid of being criticized for being insufficiently sensitive to homosexuals if they report a crime which puts homosexuals in a bad light. Jews aren't afraid of the story, but Jews set the media policies followed by all the other media people. Once the New York Times or the Washington Post or Time Magazine or some other Jewish news medium reports a story, then the Gentile media people will go with it. But they are afraid to report a sensitive story until the Jews have given them the okay, in effect. That's the same sort of mentality exhibited by the Ohio and Illinois bar committees. People who think of themselves as part of the mainstream, and that includes most Gentile lawyers and virtually all Gentiles in the media, are more afraid today than at any time in the past to be seen as politically incorrect, to be suspected of heterodoxy. There is almost no moral courage among them, not even a desire to be honest and forthright. Well, as I indicated a minute ago, that is something which goes hand in hand with the increasing Judaization of American society. Let me try to describe this process in a single sentence. What we are seeing today, what has been increasingly evident during the past decade, is increasing arrogance and pushiness on the part of the Jews, and at the same time, increasing timidity, increasing spinelessness, increasing pusillanimity on the part of white Gentiles. While the Jews and their allies, the homosexuals and the feminists and the blacks and other racial minorities, are pushing forward with greater boldness and self-confidence, heterosexual white males are groveling and apologizing and trying their best to be sensitive to the desires of their natural enemies. It is not only a nauseating and disgusting spectacle, but it is the manifestation of a mortal condition. I've discussed with you this development in a piecemeal way in many of these broadcasts. For example, I've pointed out many times the fact that during the Clinton era, that is, during the past 7 years, there has been a startling and unprecedented eruption of Jews into public positions of power in the United States government. Before the Clinton era, Jews wielded their power behind the scenes as money men and more or less anonymous media bosses. Then, beginning in 1993, Jewish officials mushroomed all over Washington, in Clinton's cabinet, on the Supreme Court, and in every federal agency. While Clinton talked about having a government which looks like America, he appointed a federal bureaucracy which looks like Israel. He appointed Jews to high government offices at a rate 20 times their percentage in the general population. I especially called your attention to Clinton's appointment of an all-Jewish national defense and foreign policy team immediately after his re-election in 1996. As you know, I am no fan of Bill Clinton, but it would be a mistake to blame on Clinton this flood of Semitic sewage which has engulfed Washington during his time in office. This sudden emergence of Jews into the spotlight is not something designed by Clinton. Let us remember that Clinton himself is a creature of the Jews. They have had a symbiotic relationship with him from the beginning. Clinton's appointments are only one aspect of the flood. Look at the developments in the mass media during the past decade. It used to be that the Jewish media bosses kept a low profile. But recently, we have seen a series of spectacular acquisitions and buyouts and mergers resulting in a few colossal multimedia empires headed by Jewish billionaires. During the process, a number of media entities headed by Gentiles got gobbled up and are now under Jewish control. Capital Cities ABC became part of Michael Eisner's empire after Eisner had taken over the formerly Gentile Walt Disney Company. Ted Turner's CNN became part of Gerald Levin's Time Warner empire. And MTV boss Sumner Redstone's acquisition of CBS just a few weeks ago put this Jew into the spotlight as well. Perhaps even more noticeable to the general public than the political appointments and the growth of media empires has been the blatant promotion and commercialization of the so-called Holocaust. first the Jews, with the assistance of their Hollywood film industry and their other media, established in the public mind the idea that Jews have a unique status as blameless victims of Gentile malice, hostility, and indifference. In many European countries, the Jews have succeeded in gaining the status of sacred dogma for their Holocaust story. People are prosecuted and sent to prison for questioning any detail of it. That's bizarre, almost like a return to the 13th century at the end of the 20th century. But that's the way it actually is in Germany and Britain and France and Switzerland and Canada and many other supposedly modern countries today. They have not succeeded yet in criminalizing the questioning of their Holocaust story in the United States, but they have trained the public to regard any questioner or critic as a so-called Holocaust denier. If I say that it is possible that some Jews were executed by poison gas during the Second World War, but that in a number of cases where their gas chamber stories have been investigated, they haven't held up. For example, the claim that Jews were gassed in the German prison camp at Dachau. If I point out that this claim has been shown conclusively to be false, then I am labeled a Holocaust denier, with the implication that I am a supporter of the untenable position that no Jews at all were killed during the war. Anyway, having succeeded in giving their Holocaust story a really religious significance in the minds of the Gentile public, they have been presenting the bill for the Holocaust to the Gentile world with breathtaking audacity during the past 5 years or so. Of course, they've been bleeding the Germans ever since the end of the war, but it was only recently that they decided everybody should pay, starting with the Swiss, and then the Swedes, and then the French, and then the British, and so on. The newspapers have been full of new claims for reparations, new lawsuits seeking more billions of dollars for one thing or another they claim happened to them during a war which ended 54 years ago. But this increased audacity, this increased arrogance and self-confidence on the part of the Jews has gone hand in hand with an increased timidity on our part. Or at least, our reaction might be interpreted as timidity. Or it might be seen as the consequence of increased brainwashing coupled with increased corruption and dereliction of duty on the part of our leaders. We are led by lawyers, and the lawyers certainly are not becoming more responsible or more ethical or more courageous. To the contrary, they are more inclined than ever to curry favor with the Jews, as suggested by the behavior of the Ohio and Illinois bar committees I cited. Now, this is a process which cannot go on indefinitely. We are headed toward an explosion. The Jews may not realize it, and the lawyers may not realize it, and the couch potatoes may not realize it, but resentment is building. Not every heterosexual white male is a lawyer, and not every heterosexual white woman is a mindless couch potato. Some of us do see what is going on, and to say that we don't like it is an understatement. The Clintonistas may believe that by building an electoral coalition of welfare rabble, feminists, homosexuals, and non-whites, they have obtained for themselves an unbreakable lock on America. They believe that whenever the Democrats are in really bad odor with the public, as is the case now, then they can get a Republican clone elected instead and continue with their programs. They believe that as the number of us grows who are determined to see their heads on spikes all around the White House and the Capitol, all they have to do is pass new hate crime laws and they can keep us under control. I believe that the Clintonistas really don't understand the situation. They really don't understand why anyone should disagree with their policies. They don't understand why anyone should be unhappy with what they're doing to America and to the world. I just finished watching a network news program. Bill Clinton was giving a little pep talk to the U.S. occupation troops in Serbia, telling them how many lives they have saved by being there and what a good job they're doing. Clinton was smiling. The soldiers were smiling. The news reporter was smiling. Everybody was smiling as if everything is just fine. That is the sort of world most Americans see every day on television. The sort of world they believe they live in. The sort of make-believe world the Clintonistas have designed for them. And they've done a pretty good job of keeping the news which doesn't fit, the news which shows up this make-believe world as a lie, away from public view. The Jews, who are now in a feeding frenzy, certainly will continue doing what they have done so far with such success. And the lawyers apparently believe that they can continue becoming more and more corrupt, that they can continue collaborating with the Jews, and we will keep on tolerating it. And what about us? How much longer will we continue tolerating all of this? Certainly for a while longer. We are a very tolerant people. The anger is building, but it hasn't reached the explosion point quite yet. But it will. It really will. One of the things which has been holding us back is the belief that resistance is useless. We look at the racially mixed mess which our enemies already have made of America. We look at our cities, our workplaces, our schools, at the huge number of racially mixed families. And some of us think that it's too late to straighten things out, that there will be too much blood and chaos, that we will have to destroy our whole society in order to cleanse it. And of course, they're partly right. And it's true that the longer we wait, the bloodier and more chaotic the explosion will be. But the people who believe that that is a reason for doing nothing are those who either are too comfortable now, too soft, too spoiled by an unnatural and enervating lifestyle to face a difficult and unpleasant problem, or who, like the lawyers and the media people, have been corrupted, who are willing to see their race die rather than lose their privileges. Well, I'm afraid that those who are corrupt will stay that way until the end. But many of those who just haven't been able to bring themselves to face the unpleasantness of a solution will come to accept the proposition that the destruction of this society and the destruction of most of its population is an infinitely better outcome, infinitely better, than the final triumph of the Jews and the final destruction of our race. They will come to accept that as the Jews continue their feeding frenzy, continue becoming more arrogant and more visible, continue destroying everything which our people always have treasured more than ease and comfort and safety. The best of our people will come to understand that it is infinitely better for their children and their grandchildren to have a hard future, a future which requires them to rebuild everything, than no future at all. Thanks for being with me again today.